Good morning. I'm Kostas Bargis, I'm a partner with the Marsoft Consulting Group, a leading consulting maritime group. And I'm very pleased here. I want to thank Nicolas Bornozis for putting together such a distinguished panel of speakers who represent leading independent owners in the container ship markets. You cannot hear me? Okay. I'll sit down. All right. So, sitting next to me, left to right, is Mr. Evangelos Hadjis, who is CFO of Danaos Corporation, the New York Stock Exchange listed company. Mr. Aristidis Pittas, who is Chairman and CEO of the Nasdaq listed Euroseas. Mr. Achim Boehm, who is CEO of the Lomer Group, which is part of the Libra Group. And Dr. Herman Klein, who is Chief Operating Officer of the CP Offen Group. And last but not least, Mr. George Yurukos, who is founder and managing director of Technomar and CEO of Poseidon Containers. Well, I was planning to start today with a deadpan phrase that it's always darkest before the dawn. And this, of course, applies both in the dry bulk market, you just heard that, and in the container ship sector. The liner freight rates today are at historical lows. Charter rates for most ships are at or below operating expenses, and values for container ships are also at all-time lows. There's a lot of uncertainty in the market going forward. Economists have been consistently wrong during the last 4 years in trying to predict how the economy is going to move, always overestimate growth forward. But last year was especially bad for containerized trade. We saw the second worst growth ever in the history of the market. Growth below 2%. And there were other factors besides the slowdown in emerging economies, the slowdown in Asia trades and in China. There were other factors that impacted trade, containerized trade, last year. And most important, perhaps, was the sharp decline in commodity prices and in oil prices that affected global investment and capital outflows. And this is, had a major impact in containerized trade. Today, even the central bankers are kind of confused and trying to find out where we stand. Even if you look at the US Fed, it seems that 1 month they say one thing, the next month they say the other about raising interest rates. It was only 7 days ago that Dr. Yellen, the chairwoman of Fed, said that, indicated that in all likelihood the Fed will raise the interest rates again, only to be followed 2 days later with an announcement that the job growth in the US last month was the slowest it has been in many years. So there's a lot of uncertainty here. But among all this, shipping usually is a leading indicator for many and to gauge where the economy is moving. So I'm going to turn the question to the panel and ask all of you to express an opinion whether indeed we are near, whether we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And if so, are there some kind of indicators that you're looking from the, with a positive perspective, or is it something else that you dread and something is going to push us in the protracted depression in the market? So let's start this, this time again, moving left to right. Mr. Hantzis.
Thank you, Kostas. If one looks at the at basic metrics of the container market, one will notice that it's back to 2009 all over again. And in 2009, people also had a very hard time singling out an indicator that would demonstrate when the market is going to come back. But we saw a surge in demand for certain reasons in 2010, and the market came back full steam. So I would not single out one indicator. Right now we are, I think this is the aftermath of the 2009 crisis. The GDP growth is struggling. World GDP growth is struggling. I think the issue today is an issue of demand, and combined with trade growth slowing down, this is a recipe for a very bad market. In 2015, it was the first time in many, many years, if not ever, that containerized trade growth was a fraction of world GDP growth. And this is attributed, of course, to a number of reasons that were briefly mentioned by Kostas. The fact of the matter is that central banks are printing money, and this doesn't seem to work, because the banks that should give credit to businesses for growth to resume do not have the balance sheets to do so. And everyone is engaged in fiscal tightening in order to manage deficits and to delever, because what we have today is we have all the major economies with huge leverage they're trying to bring down. And that, of course, reduces economic activity, and that, of course, affects containerized trade growth and trade growth in general. We have seen the market in 2016 sort of moving sideways a bit, so maybe that's an indication that we're close to the bottom. And the consensus is that come 2017, with all the scrapping that is happening, with the new buildings that are not being ordered for a number of months now, maybe for 18 months, that will all improve the demand-supply balance, and come spring of 2017, we may live to see a better day.
Thank you.
It's a very simple question of supply and demand. The two are affected by multiple factors, both supply and demand, and we can analyze them in huge detail. Bottom line is, though, that all the factors that go into both of these are so many and can change so drastically that it's extremely difficult to predict. Nevertheless, all of us here being owners of vessels and buyers and sellers, we have to have a base case, and we do have a base case that today 16 and 17 look very tough, because there is a huge supply that will come and there is small demand. I don't want to go into more detail here, and I can tell you that we may be very, very wrong. I heard in a conference about a couple of months ago of somebody had taken Ted Petropoulos's analysis of the shipping banking sector, where he very consistently every year asks all the shipping bankers, the people that know the business, and the shipping bankers, of course, they are affected by the views of the owners as well, what the market will be, will do the next year, not the year after that, just the next year. And 4 out of 5 years, the consensus was wrong. So I think trying to predict exactly what will happen in the market is extremely difficult, and I don't attempt to do that anymore. I just believe when we are at a very low level, as we are today, the chances are that it will go up. Short term, we don't see why, but we didn't see that also at the beginning of 2015, and for feeder vessels where we are active, charter rates doubled within 3 or 4 months. Then they went down again, but this shows you how volatile things are and how they can change, and I really don't want to say that I monitor 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 factors in order to get make a decision.
Thank you. Mr. Boehm.
Thank you, Kostas. The question was, how do we see the markets? And we heard quite a few facts now, which all do agree to, but in general, we are positive because the crisis is now entering in September. It's 9th consecutive year. We had 2 spikes in container shipping, and this cannot go on forever, as we all know. So it's it will change. The question is when. You need a bit of stamina. Maybe you need a lot of stamina, but containerized trade is here, and it will grow. It's, of course, heavily influenced by geopolitical factors, which we are all not in control of. And the market can change quite fast, as we've seen before. But let me give you maybe 2 facts that could be of interest. The cascading effect, which all of you know, is discussed since years now. And in the beginning, we thought it isn't coming. Then it was there. But it seems to come to an end now, more or less, because the liner guys are organizing themselves in a way that we've more or less reached the end of cascading. So I do hope that we do not see more pressure from the larger vessels coming down. And an interesting fact I just heard last Friday is that the idle fleet, container fleet of course, came down from 8 to 5%, which is partly due to scrapping, but which is also due to reorganization and certain services being arranged. So the long-term outlook, Kostas, is still positive, at least in the markets where we are active in, which is sub 4,000 TEU.
Thank you. Dr. Klein.
Yeah, thank you, Kostas. So the question, has the market already reached the bottom, and is there to see any light at the end of the tunnel? First of all, the freight market. Yes, the freight markets are very low, but they have recovered a little bit. But maybe this is a normal volatility in the freight market. And at the same time, the heavy fuel oil price has gone up. It's now $230 again, so that means also the costs are higher. Charter market, if we talk about the charter market, the spot market in the container segment, we only talk about vessels up to 8,500 TEU. All the larger vessels are either owned by the liners or on a long-term charter. This might change within the next years, that we see even larger vessels in the spot market, but today maximum size 8,500 TEU. And it's interesting to see the spot rates for Panamax vessels are $5,000 per day. For an 8,500 TEU container vessel, it's $8,500 per day. So you can say it's just one US dollar per TU and day. That is the charter rate today. This is nothing. One US dollar per TU and day. For example, if it is a, let's say, 25-day journey, it's only $25. $25, that is 2 gin tonics or whatever you count it in. And I think all of us are of the opinion this is by far not enough to pay for the OPEX cost, to pay for financing of the vessel. So it's a catastrophe. Only the smaller container vessels, 1700s, for example, they do a bit better. And The reason, we know the reason quite well, is the overcapacity. In 2015, we had about 8% growth in the market, 8% additional container capacity, and on the other side, only 2% growth of the trade market. This does not fit. And so the clear answer to the question, I think, yes, we are at the bottom, but not as a turning point. I think the overcapacity is too large and the recovery will take its time.
Thank you. Mr. Yourokos.
Yes, hi, Kos, thank you. I'm a bit different opinion than a few of the gentlemen. With respect to the freight rates for liner companies, I think that we are at the bottom, and that bottom will last quite a bit due to the overcapacity in large ships. The order book that we have in containers is 80% large ships. And these large ships can only fit in US Far East trade. They cannot fit anywhere else, these 18,000 TEU ships. CMA tried to put them in US West Coast and very quickly took them out, realizing that that doesn't work. So yes, the Europe Far East will be over-tonnaged for the years to come, and that's 25% about of the income for liner companies. So this is bad news for liner companies and good news for the trade, because the order book has been dominated 85% over the last 4 years by liner companies. And as long as liner companies are rich and have strong balance sheets, that would continue. But that is not going to be the case, I think, going forward. We see a couple of them going bust, HMM, Hanjin, as an example. Now, on the charter rates, this year was the perfect storm. There was the question mark in the minds of all liner companies about the Panama Canal, when this canal is going to finally open, and so they would not organize the usual trades, the usual services that they would normally organize after Chinese New Year. They were waiting for the signal from the canal. And once the signal came, they rushed to, change a lot of Panamax containers with post-Panamax sizes, anything from 5.5 all the way to 8.5, which immediately changed the picture in the idle ship fleet. So I think that that was one major reason. And of course, demand has been slow. The commodity prices going down does not help. A lot of countries producing oil or commodities have been importing containers which are not importing as many. So commodity prices are related to how things are going to go with respect to demand. But generally speaking, GDP is the main indicator that I look at, and GDP doesn't look bad for the years to come. So I am quite confident that we have reached the bottom in charter rates, and slowly we will recover from where we are. Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to finish this round with a little bit of an optimistic view. I heard a lot of you mentioned that smaller ships are doing better. And of course, the big concern for charter vessels is the cascade of larger ships into the charter markets. As you mentioned, George, at the end of June, the new Panama Canal locks will become operational. And what that means is that literally overnight, we estimate about 10 to 15% of the capacity for Panamax ships, conventional Panamax ships transiting the canal today, will be redundant. The question to you, and probably I should start this time around with Herman. How is that going to impact the smaller ships? Smaller ships, again, so far have been immune almost from the plight of larger ships. We've seen, for example, 1,100 TEU vessels fetching on average $7,000 per day, when larger 3,000 TEU ships are struggling with 6,000, and Panamax ships are down to 5,500. So how do you see the impact of the Panama Canal locks
on the smaller vessels, something that we should be concerned about?
Yeah, first of all, I think the new locks of the Panama Canal, definitely it will change some parts of the U.S. Market, U.S. trade. Experts say that maybe 10% additional capacity will go through the Panama Canal directly to the east coast of U.S. What about the vessel size? We are happy that, for example, our 13,500 TEU container vessels, they have exactly the right dimensions to fit into the new locks, 366 meter of length and a width of 49 meter. But so far, I expect that we will see more 8,000 or 9,000 TEU container vessels passing the new Panama Canal. And the question is, what about the so-called Panamax vessels today? What is going to happen to them and the smaller vessels? It depends very much on the Panama Canal Authority, what they are doing with the existing locks. If they offer a passage for a much lower price to the existing locks for smaller vessels, so that is, I think we have to watch that. But anyhow, we will see a cascading, and it's hard to predict what where the smaller vessels will go to which trade. But the pressure, which is already extremely high on the Panamax vessels, I think this will become even higher in the near future.
Thank you. Aristide, do you have something to add to this?
I agree with Herman. I think the Panamax vessels, which have been suffering most of the time during the last 3 or 4 years, will see even more severe pressure because of what is happening. They will lose business to the bigger ships. They have been trying to cascade into smaller trades, a little bit successfully, a little bit unsuccessfully, but they have indeed eaten into vessels up to 3,000 TEU, and this is the size we operate, 1,000 to 3,000 TEU. We have seen some ships come into trades that we were traditionally doing ourselves, in Africa, for example. But there is a lot of these Panamax vessels, and I think Cascade has taken the biggest part, has done the biggest part of what it was expected to do. There is still some more to come, but I really think that because the smaller sector is not being built, it is a fleet that it is decreasing in size this year and will decrease in size the next few years as well. The smaller vessels will not be unaffected because all the container trade moves in parallel, but they will be performing better than the bigger ships, and especially than the Panamaxes, where I think some very harsh decisions will need to be made by the owners of those Panamaxes.
Thank you, Aristide. Now let's move to another topic that is headlining the news this year, and that has to do with the industry consolidation. We've seen so far this year the two large Chinese state companies, Costco and CSEL, merging at the end of February. CMA CGM buying NOL, and currently, as we all know, Hapag-Lloyd is in negotiations to purchase the United Arab Shipping Company. So with this consolidation we haven't seen for 10 plus years, we also see a consolidation taking place in the operating side when the global alliances are going to get reshuffled by the end of this year. So by the start of April of 2017, we're going to see three major alliances controlling trade in the east-west markets. So Achim, I'm going to ask you, how is this consolidation like to impact charter vessel owners And on the other side, do you see consolidation taking place on the owner's side, on the dependent owner side, and how is that going to play a role in the markets?
This consolidation for the big liner companies, which is widely discussed and of course most important news for our industry, is not touching on one factor. There's also, let's call it a second tier, I wouldn't say second tier because a lot of them are very good, of smaller liner guys. And we have a saying in Germany, the bigger the wall gets, or the stone in the wall gets, there's more and more space between the big stones. So let's see how the big liner guys are covering the world, but I do think that certain trades of minor importance to them can't or cannot be done in a way the smaller owners like in Asia or in the Caribs or in the Americas are doing their services with a lot of local knowledge. And therefore, it is interesting for the people who are ordering large container ships against 7 to 10 year time charter arrangements, although that is a model that is not really there anymore. For us with the smaller container ships, it means there's still a variety behind the big guys, and the big guys also need the small ships. But what is very interesting is that due to the pressure that is built up, you also see a lot of consolidation on the other side. And this is, again, not really noticed in the market. You've seen a lot of consolidation on the tonnage provider side. And I will not mention names, but there are some guys controlling up to 500 vessels out here, which the liner guys are not really aware of. So it's an interesting market going forward because we see a complete reshuffling of the present arrangements. And I'm really curious how our world will look like in 3 to 4 years. And if you look at Loma, when I took over Loma in 2009, George Lewithetis asked me to join. We had 26 vessels. Now we have 60 container ships. And we're not alone. There are quite a few other guys out there. So also with the owners themselves, a lot of sizing up has taken place, as you also see with the guys on this panel. It's a big chance, and you have to have a certain weight. I do think it is bad news for the small, up to 10 vessels owners nowadays, meaning the traditional model. There, something will happen on the tonnage provider size, definitely.
Thank you. We have limited time, and I'd like to ask two more questions. The thing that we see here today, which distinguishing a factor, is that for the first time we ask the question in the container ship market, is the liner company too big to fail? And what is interesting this year, that if we're talking about the companies which are currently restructuring, the liner companies which are currently restructuring or are in the process of being acquired by others, are all state companies or related heavily to state finance. So historically, the liner companies have relied on independent owners, as yourselves, to help raise finance and build large ships. However, now we see that the counterparty risk is a major factor this year. So, Evangel, I'm going to ask you, would that be a concerning factor if you were to look ahead and think of building ships to be leased out for an extended period to liner companies, the fact that the counterparty risk is not what was thought of to be in the past, and would that help limit ordering in the future?
Thank you, Costa. If one is in business, we're there to take risks, to generate returns. So adopting a very conservative approach that because counterparty risk is indeed the real factor these days with the losses accumulated by the liner companies, and we view it very conservatively, we would never do any new business again. The fact that liner companies are consolidating, achieving commercial synergies in terms of combination of routes and services, cost synergies that will all help improve their bottom line, and hopefully through the new alliances and so on, and the demand resuming, regaining some pricing power, we are there to do deals with the big 15 or 20 companies out there, which I do not, especially for new buildings, I do not see coming before the market is on recovery mode. So yes, for new business we're there. Everyone is on playing defense nowadays. No one is contemplating ordering, and that's a good thing. And that is, I think, one of the reasons that we will see recovery coming over the next 12 to 18 months.
Thank you. That's a very interesting point. And indeed, you mentioned earlier of the similarities of what happened last year with the similarities immediately following the global financial crisis of 2008-2009. One important difference is back then, at the start of the crisis, the financial crisis, the order book to fleet ratio for container ships stood at 50%. Today is down to 19% or 18%. So that's something that perhaps one can hope, if not for the immediate future, but within the next 2 years, we'll start paying off some dividends for the industry. Let me finish my questions with you, George. Now, all of you in this panel, your companies have been are currently involved, own and operate, or have recently operated not only container ships but also dry bulk ships. We, in the previous panel, we asked whether this is a good time to invest in bulkers. Let me change a little bit this question for you, George, and ask, would you differentiate whether it's a better time to invest in container ships or is a better time to invest in dry bulk ships? Now, perhaps that's not a fair question, but we'll be very much interested to listen to your views.
Okay. First of all, the answer to this question is that the dry bulk investment is a more obvious investment, as right now there's a lot more sellers in the dry bulk sector and there's a lot more distress in the dry bulk sector. Therefore, one can pick a lot of distress opportunities. So in this respect, it is a lot easier and there's a lot more liquidity in the dry bulk to invest. And that's what, for example, we are doing right now. Now, with respect to containers, it's an obvious investment if there is liquidity and if you can find good quality ships. Unfortunately, in the containers, the liquidity has been not there for the KG market for the last 7 years. So most of the KG ships, pre-owned ships that come under distress or under fire sale from the bank are usually in horrible condition and therefore not candidates to buy. So it's very difficult in the container market to find the right ship at the right price. And personally, I wouldn't go too much for smaller ships. As I don't think that small ships are going to have a lot of years of good future due to the fact that liner companies have decided since 3 years now that large is better. And so they're trying to, you know, grow the size of ships in every service. That they're achieving by doing the alliances and by doing the consolidations we just spoke to. And the fact that the Panama Canal has opened has made a lot of the Panamax ships, if not all, today useless to them. But that's for a short while. I think the Panamax ships are going to move down, they're going to cascade down and take over the demand that is there for smaller ships, which are not built, as we all know, and the fleet growth is negative. So I think that going forward, the Panamax is a year from now or so will start to improve their rates because they're going to start doing the business of what 3,000s do today, and hopefully cargoes are going to also improve slowly and fill up the ships. To find large ships, which would be my choice of investment in the container business, You cannot find many ships, maybe a couple of them, and if so, I'm not sure if they're going to be in good condition. So it's an obvious investment. You need balls, you need big balls, because right now it looks really dark. But you know, as Warren Buffett said, you should invest when people think you're crazy. So now it's the time, but there's not much liquidity in the container. So the dry bulk is the more obvious easy investment.
Thank you. And before wrapping up, I would like to open the floor for the rest of you to comment on this.
Yeah, if you would have asked me if it is the right time to invest into containers or in bulkers, I would have answered it's a good time to invest into tankers. And but anyhow, talking about investments into the container segment, I fully agree with George. I think especially the smaller vessels, that makes more sense, definitely. And if I look here into this large audience, and what do you expect from this conference, and what do you expect from Posidonia, I think is at least some good hints. And the panel before, there was one talking about a wise man he met yesterday. And I remember a story. There was a very successful ship owner in an interview, and the interviewer asked, sir, please tell me, what is the secret of your success in this business? And the successful ship owner said, just two words, right decisions. And the interviewer said, oh, that's very interesting. And how to make right decisions? And he answered, just one word, experience. Oh, okay. And please tell me how to get experience. And the ship owner said, just two words, wrong decisions.
Thank you. Any other brief comments? No. All right. Well, thank you very much.